here we are, ready to go into the rest of chapter or the third lesson. We'll see how far we get today. It'll be, as I was going through here, it was quite an interesting challenge to what was there, and I hope I can relay the lesson the way it's intended. So, with me, if you would, turn to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to start off with verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for how your word goes forth. We thank you, Father, that there are many out that do preach a clear gospel, but yet do it for the wrong motives. And Father, I do thank you that the Apostle Paul tries to make things clear here in how the gospel should go forth and what to do when we have those that do preach the gospel but have the wrong motives. And Father, that we should strive to always have that right motive in there, that motive of love, to share the gospel with the lost and be willing to understand that there are many out there that do love you, but not the same way that we do. And Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for the blessing. We thank you for this lesson. And I pray, Father, that it'll glorify you in all that's done, that these be your words and not mine, but they would glorify you in all ways, and it would give us a bit more in our toolbox, that we would be stronger for you as we walk on this earth. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is an interesting little segment here, because if you remember back when Brian was teaching and Pastor were teaching in Galatians, there's a section there, and I'm going to try and refer to that and kind of blend the two of them together. But it's interesting here, the Apostle Paul was writing that some indeed preach Christ even with envy and strife. And, you know, he wrote that many are encouraged by him being in bonds, that they realize that the gospel was going forward regardless of the circumstances. And that was important for Christians to realize that they're under persecution. Those that are under persecution are going forth with the gospel, and they should be an encouragement to us. And the Apostle Paul, knowing that he was bringing the gospel forward even when he was in chains, and we think of just how many people were actually reached by the Apostle Paul while he was chained up there. I mean, he was under guard 24 hours a day. I think the Romans were setting up their guards at 4-hour intervals. And I'm sure not the same one was there every day. They probably had a whole group to come from. So who knows how many were there. And then how many of the rest of the palace were hearing the gospel. But yet he's pointing out here that some preached the gospel even of envy and strife. And they had impure motives. And when we think of verses 15 and 16 here, what impure motives came out of these two verses that the Apostle Paul was pointing out? We look there and see what verse 15 starts it out. And, well, we have, Charles? Envy, yes, envy. Strife. Contention. Insincerity. You know, and every one of those are important to think about as this is being presented. He's still saying that there are those that are preaching Christ. They're preaching the gospel. They're preaching it, the gospel of salvation. They weren't adding anything to that. But yet, the way in which they were presenting it, and I made a note here, honest preachers don't poach. Well, and that's true, but good preachers that preach, as it says in verse 17, the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. There are those that are preaching love, that realize that as Christians, we're to love one another. We're to honor each other, hold each other up before the Lord. But yet, and depending on where we end up today, I've got a whole nother lesson dealing with called mixed motives. So if we make it through this portion, next week we'll talk about mixed motives, because that's really important when listening to people. The preachers in this group that Paul called out, they were looking to advance themselves, still preaching Christ, but yet they were looking at, as Paul was saying here, you know, supposing to add to afflictions to my bonds. In other words, making it even harder on the Apostle Paul, making statements like, well, hey, Paul's in prison. His ministry's done. Don't listen to him anymore. Listen to me. I've got the right words. I'm going to teach you the gospel. And presenting the gospel, which yet they're building themselves up. You know, come on over to my church. You know, don't go to Paul's church anymore. It's finished. I'm going to try to get all those guys into mine. Or something to that effect. And it's sad that they were advancing themselves at Paul's expense. And but yet the Apostle Paul, being the man that really loves the Lord fully, more so than probably any one of us could ever be, yet he's saying, I'm going to rejoice in them. I'm going to rejoice because they're teaching the gospel. And so and it's sad when men do preach that way, thinking that, well, just, you know, I'm going to make sure that he knows that I'm preaching the right gospel here. I'm taking over his ministry. That's almost the position that they're saying, is that they're adding that anguish to it. You know, they took the opportunity to build themselves up rather than say, hey, we need to look at Paul, who's still preaching the gospel in prison. We need to pray for him. I'm going to make sure that the gospel is going forward, but I want you to make sure that you also realize that Paul is the reason that I'm preaching. That's how it should have been presented in a way. But yet, he didn't. Or, I mean, they didn't. They used that opportunity. And it's sad when people do that. And I can think of men that preach a very clear gospel, and over time others look at him and goes, well, you know, he compromised in this area. I don't think he's so good anymore. On and on and on with Billy Graham, for instance. You know, how many millions sat in under his teaching and preaching in there and came to know, because he didn't compromise on the gospel. He may have made statements that others thought, well, you know, he's not really sold out like, you know, so-and-so here is. Or you have others that have feuds, preachers that have feuds with themselves. I think early when the Bible Baptist movement was moving, a man named Norris had a magazine, and if he didn't like you, he'd run an article to you, and then he would send it to your church where you're at, you know, saying how bad this person was. Now, if you listen to this man preach, he was very good, but he was also very vindictive in his preaching. Ruckman was the same way. Preached a salvation gospel. He had a few quirks about things, but he was very vindictive. There are men out there that are just very, very vindictive in how they're preaching to show that I'm better than that guy is. And that ought not to be. That's important to realize that, you know, if you happen to be under that preaching, you pray for the person that God will get a hold of them and make them a loving person. Amen. That's what it comes down to. Because I've been under that kind of preaching. you know, a lot of times you're ducking behind the pew to avoid the, you know, things that are coming out. But yet, when you listen to him carefully, he doesn't waver from the gospel. Yet, you know, so you kind of weigh things, and sometimes people just say, hey, I'm not going to put up with that kind of preaching. I'm going to go find me somebody that is a loving preacher. And, you know, just let the Lord lead in that way. Because there are people that sit there and will go that way, and then they counter, you know, they kind of offset that scathing, because people could be going, boy, those people are really nice, but man, you know, you better have an armor jacket when you go in to listen to that guy preach, because he's going to be, you know, burning your ears off for some reason or another. But yet, people can get saved under that. That's what the Apostle Paul's trying to let them realize, that, you know, when he was, the preaching was such that they preached Christ. And he was letting them understand that, you know, there are contentious people out there, people that literally are just building themselves up while they're building up Christ, or while they're adding to the church. And, you know, so when we think about these, you know, Paul was glad to be in prison. It's amazing to think that, well, okay, I'm glad to be here. He knew that he was placed there for a purpose. And he's already stated what that purpose was, for the furtherance of the gospel. And also to encourage the other ones that are there, saying, hey, you might be in the same position. So go ahead and just let the Lord be there. You know, one person wrote down here, says, some indeed preach Christ even though of envy and strife. Paul knew that some preachers, because they wanted to surpass Paul in the ministry, because they figure, well, okay, he's going to be beheaded, so somebody needs to step in here. So there's a competition now of who's going to take over. Well, they should be a competition to get the gospel out, not to see who can get it out the best or the or whatever. But he's saying that, you know, that to promote their own name. But these people were glad that Paul was in prison, like we'd mentioned, because they felt that this gave them a competitive edge over him, and that they considered to be the contest of preaching the gospel. Well, preaching the gospel shouldn't be a contest. I mean, well, I love the sword of the Lord, but in there, there's a section where it talks about the number of baptisms and the number of people that got saved. And they list it almost as a competition, you know, to see who can get the most. You know, every Sunday we baptize 50 people, or we average X number per year. So numbers are a big importance. And why they do that, it's because they feel that if we're not winning souls every Sunday, we're not a good church. Well, that's not true. You know, how many times did Paul preach and people didn't get saved? How many times did Peter preach and didn't get saved? And you think of, as you go through, sometimes God isn't going to save people. He wants people to be built up. He wants to hear the gospel to encourage them. And so Paul wasn't so critical or cynical to believe that every other preacher had bad motives. He knew that some preached the gospel from goodwill, or from the right heart attitude. You know, and they're like, well, you know, you get, you know, vinegar and honey situation. And we want to make sure that when the gospel goes out, it comes from a pure heart. But yet, as he says in verse 18, he's going to rejoice regardless that the gospel goes out, the true gospel. Not like they were talking about over in Galatians, where they were talking about that false gospel. And the those preaching the gospel out of wrong motives were inflicted with selfish ambitions, and which makes them serve, but not sincerely. So you say, well, is the guy really preaching the gospel? Well, he's preaching the gospel from the wrong attitude. Are people going to get saved? Yes. God's getting glorified through that. God will, regardless of how the gospel is presented, as long as the gospel is presented, God will get glorified. If he wants people to get saved, they're going to get saved. They're going to get saved under that ministry. But ambition isn't necessarily bad. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be the best, which is ideal. I think Pastor Bob would be that way. He wants to be the best preacher he can. But he's not going to do it in a selfish manner. That's one thing that when I listened to him preach, I was impressed with. He wasn't up to prove that he was better than anybody else. And the Apostle Paul was that very same way. In fact, how many times in many of his, he says, I'm the least of the apostles. You know, not meaning that, you know, he had anything less than the others, but he himself wanted to humble himself. And to know that, you know, that they want to have a good image when presenting the gospel, but they don't want to be up, you know, song and dance and, you know, making all the best entertainment that there is. Because there are a lot of churches that are doing that today that have a very solid gospel, but they're up to entertain and draw people in. So on one hand, that's good that the gospel is coming in, but it makes you wonder, well, did they come just for the entertainment? I'm thankful that those that got saved during those. And so the methodology, well, we might not agree with that, which can lead people to legalism. I mean, I mentioned it before, there are some people that won't come here because I wear a beard and pastor lets me teach. There are others that, you know, that not everybody's in a suit and tie and not everybody's in the perfect type of dress every time. You know, it's sad where people focus in, well, we live in a good Bible-believing church, but this and this and this and this, if you don't fit into those little molds, we're not going to go to your church. And that's so sad, and that's what the Apostle Paul's trying to point these people away from, because they're building themselves up, they're building up little external things to make it legal. Some churches, they will not even allow, you know, a homeless person in their church because it's degrading. It's not supposed to happen. You're not supposed to have homeless people in your church. Excuse me. You know, God loves them just as much as he loves the very rich and famous. And he wants them saved the very same way. You know, James points that out to us. And, you know, I ran across this piece here, A.W. Tozer, and I don't know if any of you have ever read any of his writings, but he was a very humble man. And he said in one of his books, he had rebuking the attitude of competition that's common amongst in the ministry. He says, "Dear Lord, I refuse henceforth to compete with any of thy servants." And he called them servants. "They have congregations larger than mine. So be it. I rejoice in their success. They have greater gifts. Very well. That is not in their power nor in mine. I am humbly grateful for their greater gifts and my smaller ones. I only pray that I may use thy glory, such modest gifts as I possess. I will not compare myself with any, nor try to build my self-esteem by noting where I may excel one or another in thy holy work. I therefore make a blanket disapproval of all intrinsic worth. I am but an unprofitable servant. I gladly go to the foot of the cross and own myself the least of thy people. If I err in myself judgment and actually underestimate myself, I do not want to know it. I purpose to pray for others and to rejoice in their prosperity as if they were my own. And indeed, it is my own if it's thine own. For what is thine is mine, and while one plants and another waters, it's thou alone that giveth the increase." It was from his book called The Price of Neglect. And there are a lot of men that just have that humble attitude and become an encouragement when they write things like that. The Apostle Paul's has said that more often through there is to not be contentious, not to build yourself up in doing that. But he said, if you're teaching the gospel, I'm going to rejoice for you, but I'm not going to rail on you. And that's so very important that that Paul he had a concern that was not the content of the gospel being preached, only that the motives of those who preached it. He was making sure that the right gospel was being taught, and yet there are some that had the wrong motives. Paul objected that if he had thought any false or distorted gospel was preached, and even if the best intentions, and then he cites Galatians 1. Let's turn there real quick, because it might be a nice little bit of a review. Galatians 1, and it's 6 through 9. It says, I marvel that ye are soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. He's addressing, will address people that are preaching against Christ. Here they had the Judaizers. They had people that, well, once you get saved now, that's good, but you've got to keep the law. You get all the ands to that. And Brother Brian, a pastor, covered that very thoroughly. And that's important to realize, that when people add to salvation, it's wrong. It's not the gospel that the Apostle Paul's talking about here. It's those that are talking about the right gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ that only comes by faith. We get grace and we have mercy. That's the salvation. And people need to realize that that is the only way to salvation. Not, well, I was born into the right family, I go to the right church, I got baptized on this day. Because there are a lot of people that are holding on to that baptism as to the sign of when they got saved. Well, you could use that if you got saved on the, you know, baptized on the day you got saved. You know, that could be memorable. But don't glom on to baptism as the reason or the way in which you were saved. All you did was get washed a little cleaner. And it's important for people to understand that Paul's attitude, you know, if you preach the true gospel, I don't care what your motives are. If your motives are bad, God will deal with you. But at least the gospel is being preached. But if you preach a false gospel, I don't care how good your motives are, you're dangerous and must stop preaching your false gospel, and good motives don't excuse your false message. That's the importance of it. That's what the Apostle Paul's trying to get. And that's what, you know, in many of the churches, that's what he was fighting, was those that had good motives, but preaching the wrong gospel. And trying to be sincere. And it's so dangerous. And if Paul, Paul was making sure that the gospel was not going to be hindered by his imprisonment. As we look at that. And our circumstances should never hinder the gospel. We need to all realize, and a lot of times I'm one that will go, you know, make an excuse to myself why I shouldn't share that gospel with somebody. And afterward it's like, oh, I hope I see that person again. Maybe I can share. Maybe I'll think twice before I say, no, Lord, you know, I'm sorry. I just don't feel right. And sometimes I've been blessed to be able to go back a second time and share the gospel with them. I had that happen a lot of times when I was in the service. Sometimes the circumstances weren't right. Maybe the person asked a question, but maybe you weren't just ready to answer that for them. And it's sad when we do that. But I'm thankful that when we know that, we confess it. And oftentimes the Lord gives us that second chance to be able to step in there. Sometimes, and I know that's happened, I've known men that went off into eternity that I've shared the gospel with, but they never made a commitment, or maybe I just didn't present it properly, or whatever. They went off into eternity, and I never knew what was going to happen with them. One day I'll find out. And I think a lot of us here will. When we shared the gospel with somebody, maybe they didn't make a commitment. Maybe they made us feel a little uncomfortable how we presented it, but yet the gospel was presented. It was there. You know, it's the old adage, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I don't care whether you're the strongest guy in the world, you're not going to get that horse to bend his head and drink water. Because they're a lot stronger than man, no matter what. So, but the Apostle Paul is trying to make sure that we understand that God's work is still getting done. it's still getting done no matter what. And as he goes through that, you know, Paul's pointing out lesser men than him would have resented a lot of these people's activity. They would have got, they might have, well, got upset. Well, Paul's not upset, but I'm really angry how that person's attitude is about presenting the gospel. And I'm going to let him know about it. Well, the Apostle Paul's trying to say no. He says just, you know, Paul was rejoicing for them that the gospel was going forward. And like his little statement just earlier, God will deal with the person's attitude. And I've known some men that were very harsh in how they presented it or built themselves up. But over time, or maybe God did deal with them, I've listened to them again going, wow, that guy changed a whole lot in his attitude. I've seen that with young men that step into the ministry. They're up there, they're going to make this ministry the biggest one around, and on and on and on. And later in years, all of a sudden, they kind of mellowed a little bit. I think, you know, it's, well, sometimes aging helps a little, make things a little more mellow, a little more palatable, so to speak. Maybe that's why they talk about wine, but then at a certain point it goes to vinegar again. So it's kind of harsh, but it tastes good on food. So, but the attitude of people, that's what the Apostle Paul, and he was trying to make sure that those that were listening to Paul weren't getting angry at those that were preaching against Paul or trying to show themselves better than Paul. And that's very important in our lives too. We might rail on somebody to ourselves that's not preaching the same way that, say, Pastor Bob is. Why don't all of them preach like that? Well, not all of them have the same personality. Some are very strong. Others are very humble. In a lot of ways. But I've met men that are very strong behind the pulpit, but when you talk with them, they're the most humble men in the world. Sometimes stepping behind here, a lot of things changed. You know, how was it worded one time? A young pastor went up all proud and gave his sermon and didn't see any response as he went through there, and he kind of felt a little dejected as he walked down and kind of felt maybe a little humiliated. And the little old lady in the back tugged on him and says, "Preacher, if you'd have gone up the way you went down, you'd have gone down the way you went up." And that's so very important that God's word, as it goes forth, we don't have any control of what happens on people. We just know that stepping behind here, we want to do what God has asked us to do, to deliver his message, not our message. And I hear pastors say that, Brian, all of us that step up here, we want to do what God wants us to do. And like it says, oftentimes we need to proclaim the gospel with pure motives. And it's possible when we preach that, you know, the message, right or wrong, comes out with the right motives. You know, the message may sound all jumbled up, but yet, if the heart's ready to receive what God's word is, it's amazing what God will put into our heart, the right attitude. I've heard some really interesting sermons that were preached, and you go in there and goes, wow, there's a couple of nuggets in there that I didn't realize were there. Maybe stepping back and looking at it a little bit. And it's so important. So one of the questions it has is, what are some wrong motives out of which believers today might spread the gospel? Lynn?
The obvious, the praise of men.
Yeah, it's the obvious, the praise of men. Yeah, it sounds really good. You ought to go listen to that guy. He is so charismatic when he preaches. He's probably preaching a really good message, but if you listen to him carefully, he might step in there a lot. Well, you know, I think this, and I that, and present the gospel. Talked about himself more than the gospel, but he got the gospel part. Any others? Charles?
Condemning the sinners for their sin.
Yeah, condemning the sinner. That's a real sad part today, especially with what's going on in society. You know, I hear a lot of people, well, you know, we're being discriminated against. No. If you talk to a Christian, they're not discriminating the person, they're discriminating the sin. God hates the sin. You know, and some people go, well, that's not the right attitude of, you know, hate the sin, love the sinner. Well, that's exactly what God says. You know, before we got saved, what were we? We were all reprobate. We were, you know, not all of us were murderers. Not all of us were, as stated in there, but every one of us lied at one point in our life. Well, yeah, we were all condemned the same way. To God, sin is a three-letter word. Don't care if that sin is murder or thievery or whatever heinous thing you think of, it's sin. It went against God. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to point out, that people entertaining wrong motives is not good. And like I said, God will deal with that. But the importance is the gospel getting out. And so when we understand that the Apostle Paul is dealing with that situation, even in Rome. Today, you know, we get in and we hear all the isms there are. Every one of those isms, when you think about and you look through there, you might find a nugget of truth in amongst them. But when you start looking at all of that as a whole, you start hearing like they were talking about in Galatians, that false gospel that's in there. You know, talking about Calvinism, we put God in a little box, and you know, if you're not that chosen, you aren't going to get saved, and the rest of you, phooey, you're all going to hell, no matter what you think. I heard that the other day. So you think you're saved, well, you don't know if you're the elect or not, on and on, all that other junk with it. I know when I got saved, I was saved. God saved me. I believe in whosoever is every human being on this earth that ever lived. God didn't make any pretenses in there. He didn't say that only these certain number of people. He said all. And to me, all means all. I don't care what other people, these elected guys with lots of numerals after, or letters after their names, you know, they're telling me, well, you don't know anything about, well, excuse me, but I can read. You know, that's why we have the King James Bible. It's so the common man can read. It's sad that today, so many of the versions, I think when Brother Nick was talking about this, I think the average age or grade level was like the fourth or fifth grade was based on the King James. And you start looking at all the translations and they start raising the age level or the grade level higher and higher and adding more and more junk in there, adding, you know, where they would say something very simple, a new translation would add some long expounded whatever and has confusing meanings. And it's so sad. The Apostle Paul wants to make sure that we understand that the right motives are important. The right gospel is the most important. Without it, men aren't going to get saved. Men can get saved with the wrong motives being preached to them, with the right gospel being presented. And that's so important. And that's why we need to, as Christians that believe the right gospel, that we don't try to condemn somebody else for how they're presenting that gospel. We just need to pray for them. Because we have lots of good churches in the area here. We have lots of really bad churches in this area. And it's so important. We need to ask God to use the churches to reach the lost. And not to think that, well, we're the problem. And we're really not the problem. It's the ones that are bringing a wrong gospel out that have the very charismatic people that have you convinced to follow them. When the true gospel needs to be presented with the right attitude. And that's so important for each and every one of us. And next week I want to look at verse 18. We kind of touched on verse 18, but we look at the Paul's response to all this, and we talked about that. But I've got an outline that I've worked on that really addresses this in such a way with right motives. and the way that there are mixed motives that are going out. And I'm hoping that it works out. I'm just praying that the Lord will use it with around verse 18. So let's pray. The Father, we do thank you again. We thank you for the gospel that goes forth. Father, we do pray for that the right gospel is going out with the right motives. Father, we do pray for those that we know in churches that might be having the wrong motives going forward, and that we know that you'll deal with that and you'll work that out. Father, we know that you're not a God of confusion. You answer each and every one of our prayers, and we are thankful for that. Now, Father, I pray that you take us into the morning service, that we can rejoice around your word, and that we can just continue to glorify you in all that we do. And we do want to hold Lisa up before you today. Just make sure that she continues to heal, because we want to bring her back in. Then we can have the deaf hear again. And Father, I thank you for your blessings upon this group. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.